Welcome to the Beauty Files. I'm Juanita. I am so glad you could join us today. Happy Friday. Yeah, it's pre-inaugural weekend, and it is crazy in D.C., but we love crazy. We love good crazy. So if you're attending any of the inaugural balls, you may want to listen to this show, even though we're talking about wedding planning, but we're also talking about dresses, beautiful dresses, catering, and all that type of stuff. So let me, first tell you guys, did you know that if you're planning to get married, say, 7 months, you should have started planning for your nups last year? Okay, so what if you you don't have a year, you only have a few months, and, you know, what's a bride girl to do? Well, I think you will be delightfully pleased with my guest today. Did you know that the wedding industry is a whopping $30 billion with a B dollar business, and that the average cost of a wedding, according to thenot.com, that's K-N-O-T.com, starts at $27,000. Now, imagine if you're in L.A., it starts at $37,000, and the Big Apple, it's $65,000. I can't even fathom spending that much loot on the wedding. But if it's a pretty wedding, yeah, I can definitely do, I can spend that kind of money. It's a big party. It's my party. And, I'll spend what kind of money I want to. Now, we're going to get started with the show. Before I introduce our first guest, Elaine, from David's Bridal. Ooh, David's Bridal, the dresses are so beautiful. I wanted to let you guys know, when I was preparing for this show, 2020 on ABC is airing a show tonight called Wedding Confidential. It looks like an interesting show. It starts at 10 o'clock. I would, recommend you seeing it. It looks like it's a pretty interesting show about different scenarios with weddings and mishaps and great things, bad things. I think I saw one excerpt where someone was falling into the water. Yeah, I want that to happen to my nuptials. Elaine, welcome to the Beauty Files.
Thanks, Juanita. Thanks for having me.
Now, I'm going to do this show a little backwards. What I decided I was going to do, instead of going through the planning part first, because we're going to be joined later by Lynette Richardson Hall. She is what we call the wedding diva. And then we also have Joanne, and I'm going to butcher her last name, so I'm just going to say Joanne. Joanne is a specialist in destination weddings. But I'm going to do it backwards, and I'm going to go for the dress. How important is getting the perfect dress to a bride? I'll throw that out there.
The perfect dress.
The perfect dress. I mean, when a bride comes into your place and they say, I want the perfect dress, how do you go by step in gearing them or showing them how they should look at the perfect dress for their particular type?
Great question. The dress, we always say the dress, the bride, she's the centerpiece of the wedding, right? Everything cascades from there.
Yeah. The
venue, the catering, the whole bit is about, what type of dress she's going to wear. If it's going to be very formal, if it's going to be on a beach, all these things all wrap around her and the dress. And so how we go about it here at David's is we talk to the bride and find out what her preference is, what her vision of herself on her wedding day is going to be. Most women actually, embarrassed to admit it, but most of us actually start planning our wedding or what we want to look like from about age three, right?
I do. I know. I was going to say, we sure do. We know exactly we want to look. I want to look like a princess, mommy. I want to come down with a big train.
Absolutely. Ever since you've put on your mother's high heels, right? You've been thinking about that dress with that veil. And so that's our job, is to listen to her and try to help her paint that picture for us so we can match up what we have here at David's with her and her dream. And I'll tell you, when I joined this business, I heard this, and you think, oh, that all sounds really nice, but it is so true.
Yeah.
When she walks out of the fitting room with the dress, you know it. The hairs on your arms stand up, your eyes fill up, her eyes fill up. You don't even have to see the dress on her. You just see her from the neck up, and the smile tells you everything.
Oh, my.
It's a magical experience, and it's why I always tell everyone when they come to work at David's, you're going to fall in love with the business, because that is the best feeling in the world when you see her in the dress. When a woman, no woman, I will tell you, the most beautiful she's ever felt in her life was on her wedding day.
Yeah, you're singing to the choir. That is, it is the most beautiful thing to see, especially me behind the scenes, and I'll do makeup for weddings, and you know, you're doing the makeup and you're looking at it and you go, oh, this is nice. But then when she steps into that dress and everything comes together, I'm bawling.
Isn't it?
It's amazing. And it always says, it's all about how, like you said, when she walks down the aisle with that most beautiful dress. But now we go through the, that's the good part. Now we go to the bad and the ugly. What happens if a woman comes in? She's not a size 6, not a size 4, you know, because one of the lovely things I love about David's Bridal is the diversity of all the different types of dresses, the different types of sizes, the styles, the colors. It's amazing how much a person can choose from David's Bridal. But if a woman comes in and she thinks that she can wear a dress that Kim Kardashian may have worn at her wedding, I want the same dress that Kim wore, and I don't want to take no for an answer. How do you attack that?
Well, yeah, you know, again, here at David's, we carry from a 0 petite to a 30 women's. So we really can, you know, help fit every shape and size. And here, and also here at David's, we have really analyzed, we've been in the business over 60 years, the true size of a woman. We have measured every which way up and down and in and out and did studies for years so that when you come into David's and you try on a women's size, it will fit like no other dress she has ever tried on. And I tell you, that's my favorite brides to come in, because these are women that often, you know, might be a little bit insecure, have shop places where they don't see a big selection in their sizes. And, you know, they're a little intimidated and frustrated by that. And they come in and we have not just a wide selection, but they actually can put on a dress that fits like on their, is so flattering on their figure. And they look so beautiful no matter what, you know, no matter what size she is, she looks gorgeous. And, you know, I've had a bride, you know, cry, just been like, I didn't know I could look this good in a dress.
Wow.
And that's a fabulous feeling when you get to do that, because, you know, we all have curves. And I'll tell you, you know, the trends right now is all about curves, you know, fit
right.
And flare. You know, we all want to show our shape a little. And so many of the styles that we have out right now that are very fashion forward are all about that fit.
Wow.
Yeah, the little peplum, you know, a little mermaid. And because we can, you know, give her something to actually try on in those styles, it gives her an idea of what her shape is. And, you know, Juanita, you mentioned that, how do I find the right dress for her and match that up? We start with the silhouette. That's what you always want to start with. So, you know, is her vision a ball gown? Is her vision a mermaid? Does she like A-line? And then from there, you say, okay, let's try on a little bit of each one, because sometimes she has a vision of what she thinks she might look like, and a ball gown might be it. But when she puts it on, it's not quite right. And maybe she's really, someone looks great in a mermaid. And so we say, you know, let me take a risk, and I want you to try this. And just humor me for a minute and see what you look like. And then she comes out, and she's a figure she didn't know she had, right?
Yeah, because I think everyone wants to be a mermaid, and it's not for everyone. I'm sorry, ladies, but everyone is not a mermaid. I mean, it's a beautiful dress, it's a beautiful silhouette, but I still love, I mean, I could be a little old-fashioned, I could be a little hokey, but I love the princess look. I love that whole princess feel and all the stuff, the gathering underneath, and I just love all that. I mean, but I do know that, you know, just looking at wedding pictures, and you can, correct me, but a lot of women love that mermaid.
They do. They do.
They just want to come running down, you know, just kind of sleeking down the aisle. No.
Well, and, you know, the thing about the mermaid, and it's contrary to what you might think at first, you have to have shapes to wear a mermaid. You can't be a size 2 reed, you know, that's going to look great in a mermaid, because you actually need a little figure.
Right. Exactly.
You need a little caboose to look good in a mermaid.
Yeah, I did see a young lady. She got, I did her wedding. She got married, and she was the most amazing looking mermaid dress, where I just kept taking pictures of her. They kept, why are you... No, I just like her in this dress. She looked amazing. Mm-hmm. But then I saw someone with the princess dress too. And which comes to my next question, cost factor. You know, how much should a person spend? I guess it depends on their budget. Does it depend on, you know, their needs, their wants? Does it depend on how long they want their train? I mean, because everyone wants a long train too. I want you carrying my train down the aisle.
Right. Well, you know, that's an interesting question. So everyone should have a budget. And I heard your statistics earlier, which I have heard too, you know, the average American wedding, $27,000. And I think, okay, they're not spending that at David's on a dress, because that is not the cost of our dresses. You hear our ads. We have our semi-annual sales for $99. You can actually buy a bridal dress here at David's, and you can. You can spend up to $2,100, $2,200 on a tour gown, whether it's Melissa Sweets or Ole Cassini, Vera Wang, you know, some of our designers. But the average David's for the dress is probably $400 to $500.
Oh, that's
for the dress. But remember, we sell everything a la carte here. So when you find the dress of your dreams, most of them here at David's, you can actually take that dress home today.
Yeah, because that was going to be my next question. How far in advance would a person need to come in to get fitted? Say if I was getting married in June, and I got engaged in New Year's Day, or I'll throw one at you. I'll throw a real one at you, Elaine. What if I got engaged on Valentine's Day? Well, let's get married on June or July. How far in advance would I need to give you?
Well, and again, here at David's, we're what we call ready for you, meaning when you find the dress of your dreams today, if we have your style and color in stock, you can actually take that dress home today. They don't all have to be special ordered unless we don't have your size or color in stock. We can special order it. Now, special ordering will depend on the design of the gown and the availability in the warehouse, or whether it has to be cut to order. And, you know, that means that you're going to need anywhere from 6 to 12 weeks or 16 weeks, depending on, you know, the style to order it. But we also recommend that you have your dress a minimum of 2 months before the wedding. You visit our alterations. Because here at David's, our business model is ready for you, meaning you're going to buy that dress today and take it home. And then you want to visit our alterations department to have a custom fit to you.
Okay.
Now it's uniquely yours, because she's custom fitted, whether it's to take it in a little bit or shorten the shoulders. You know, none of us are built like a mannequin. We all have a little bit different shape and size. Or even if it's just to have a bustle. You know, that beautiful train that looks fabulous in your photographs and going up the aisle, you don't want to step all over while you're dancing. So you want to have that bustled. And there's a lot of different ways of doing a bustle that will accentuate the gown and not add any weight to it while she's dancing.
Yeah,
and,
like how, Elaine? I like that answer. Well, how? That question, I'm sorry. How would I do that?
Right. Well, our alterations department can show you many different styles. Like, you know, sometimes the train has a lot of detail down the back.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want to underbustle that and hide that. You want to bring that as an overbustle, and they'll put little hidden buttons or snaps, depending on the style, through the dress in the back that will pick up the back of the dress and then keep the hem perfectly perfect all the way around, so that it's even from the front and you won't be stepping on it. And you can button it. It's like you literally button it up, button up that long train, so that now it's become without a train.
Wow.
With it and not ruin your dress.
Now, is there a bad train? Good. I mean, not train. Why am I on train? Is there a bad headpiece? The good, the bad, the ugly. I mean, is there something that, you know, a bride should never try to get as a headpiece, or is there? You know, it doesn't matter.
You know, it doesn't matter, and again, it's her preference. And so many, one of the things I always try to stress to everyone is they need to know the veil story. They need to know the history of veiling. It really brings tradition to their wedding. It brings it makes her a bride. You know, without a veil, you're just in a pretty white dress.
Oh.
When you put on a veil, you've become a bride, and it really makes all the difference. And me personally, I'm very partial to cathedral veils. You know, it's like you're on a train.
Yeah.
It just lends that drama. It's elegant. It's beautiful. And the ceremony or in her portraits, she's going to want a picture of herself in that cathedral veil. Now, at the reception, she's not going to want that. So we always recommend that you do kind of wedding hair and reception hair. Mm-hmm. You can do something fun, like a little fun feather or bird cage or something for the reception, but you want to have that veil for the wedding and for the ceremony.
Right, right.
It makes it fun. And, or you can even bustle your veil, too. They could actually bustle it to make it shorter.
Oh, wow.
For the wedding,
wow.
There's a lot you can do with it.
I see. And you know, okay, I'm going to throw this out there, and I'm sure I'm going to get some emails. If you're getting married second time around, third time, fourth, whatever, mm-hmm. Can I still wear white?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
You can wear any color you want. It's your day, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we're celebrating the fact that you're taking a risk and making a commitment, and that's a big deal. And,
wow.
You know, I always say if you're doing it the second or third time, then, honey, you're really working at getting it right. And
I
you really
love
believe it.
It.
Or you wouldn't be doing it, right?
Exactly. I
so
love
we're
it.
We're supporting you. And you're taking a risk, so go for it.
And do you sell wedding dresses that are other than white? I mean, I saw Timberlake's wife had a beautiful, like a pink color dress. It wasn't like that shocking pink. It was like this kind of a salmon-y pink.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, could you still do that?
You can. We have, you know, the white, the ivory, some that are almost more of a gold tone.
Wow.
There's blush, which is, like you said, that salmon-y kind of pink.
Right.
I've seen more recently almost like a taupe over, sheer over an ivory dress that would make it almost smoky looking, very pretty.
That sounds amazing. That
really,
the taupe with that sounds amazing.
Mm-hmm. Gives it a little more mature, a little more elegance to it, and a little something a little bit different. Some of the fun things that women do today in new trends too is they wear color shoes. You know, it used to be only wear your white or your ivory shoes, right? Well, now it's like they spot a color. Let's wear that bright blue platform shoe or red or something underneath her dress. It's fun.
Wow.
And that's the bridesmaids.
And I guess the last question, because I could spend hours with you, Elaine, but I guess I have to wrap you up in a minute. But the last question, you said something about shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Should we wear the stilettos, you know, the cute, nice heels, or should we just, you know, really come to our senses and realize that we're going to be standing for several hours and that we need something that's going to be comfortable on our feet?
Boy, that's a tough one.
Because there's some women, there's some divas out there that can actually work it for 24 hours in those shoes, and it drives me insane.
Well, and you know, we all look better in heels, right?
We do.
I mean,
we really do.
Better, our back ends look a little better, our legs look better, and a lot of the shoes that we've been carrying, the most recent trend in our shoes has been kind of a platform. So you look,
yeah.
So it looks like it's higher, but in the front, there's still a 2-inch. Platform in the front, so it gives you that height without giving you that steep foot, you know, so that your feet won't hurt so much. It makes it much more comfortable.
Right.
So I think those are the things to look for. If you're looking to be up and higher, then look for something with a little bit of a platform so that you're right. You should not wear the really high stiletto if you're not comfortable walking it for a long period of time because you're on show, girl. This is your day.
Yeah.
Everyone's looking at you, and you don't want to kick off shoes and be walking in your bare feet later.
Well, yeah, and not only that, you don't want to wear something that you really cannot walk in, and you walk down the aisle, you fall on that train, and there goes America's, you know, next funniest video. I mean, you don't
right.
want that to happen. Because that's not cute in no one's television. I mean, especially yours. You're seeing yourself fall. Oh, this is a YouTube moment. I'll put it on the Internet.
Right. You know, and I tell everyone the most important part of this, you know, her wedding is her in the dress. And, you know, here at David's, you know, we design the dress. We sell her the dress. We manufacture the dress. We like to take her picture in the dress because we now do all that. Also, you know, whether she's in the picture or not 20 years from now, she's still going to want to look at herself in that dress.
And put it on from time to time just because she sees it and she just wants to put it on to bring back memories.
Absolutely. It's hopefully the best day of her life.
Oh. Elaine now am I saying your name like McClellan?
McClellan, right.
McClellan, it's such a pleasure talking to you from davidsbridal.com. I encourage you to definitely visit www.davidsbridal.com. They have anything, everything wedding that you can possibly match. And not just dresses. I did dresses because I love wedding dresses, but they have any and everything that you would need to plan your wedding. So I would encourage you to give Elaine and David's Bridal a call for your next wedding. Coming up, we have Lynette Richardson Hall. She is the wedding diva. Give us about a minute. We're going to get her on the phone, and we'll be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Beauty Files. It's my wedding. Well, let me change that. It's your wedding 101. Planning your wedding. I don't want anyone to get scared. Who's listening out there? Don't get scared, darling. It's not my wedding. We're planning. We're giving you tips on planning your wedding. And joining us is the lovely Lynette Richardson Hall. Welcome to the Beauty Files.
Good afternoon, Juanita. Thank you for having me.
I love the title as the wedding diva. I love that. And I started reading stuff about you and all the things that you have been on. You've been on As Seen on Style Network, Whose Wedding Is It Anyway? You're actually in charge of the Baltimore Bridal Showcase that's happening. Give us a date.
Yes, it is the Baltimore Bridal Showcase, which is done by Showcase Productions. It's actually occurring at the Baltimore Convention Center on February 2nd and 3rd. And actually, I've been brought on to be the lead planner for their collaboration with Fox 45 News here in Baltimore, a program called Wedding in a Week. So my job will be to drive that engine to actually literally put together a wedding in a week for one lucky couple.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And after 20 years in the business, I can plan weddings in my sleep. So I don't anticipate that to be a problem. I think it'll be wonderful. It'll be energetic. And this is my first year with Fox working on this project. So I'm looking forward to bringing a different sense of style and emotion to the whole process.
Wow. A wedding in a week.
In a week.
Wow.
It can be done.
You're handling, I'm sure it can. You're 20-something years. I know you could. Yeah, and I saw some of your stuff. I mean, I know you could do it.
Right.
You wouldn't have a problem with it.
Right. For the average person, though, and I was listening to your previous guest, I think if I had to tell you one thing, and I think this is something your listeners need to understand, is that even though, like, I'm on television, I've been doing it for years and do a lot of stuff, it's not what you think it is. It really is smoke and mirrors.
Okay.
But what you see on TV, you have to learn how to extrapolate that stuff.
Right.
And make it work for your particular occasion. I'm a fan of, and I tell all my clients over the years, tell to my folks who are on my show, this wedding is not about anybody else except you.
Right.
And we are going to create this experience that celebrates what you have. Not what your cousin did, not what your sorority sister, nothing. I need you to leave everybody else alone, and I need you to build your own equation.
And should we have, like, a running budget? Should we come up with a number? Should we give you a number and say, I want to spend this much money. Can you make it happen? And you say, I don't think so. I mean, what do you tell your clients when they first come to you and they say,
yes,
I want the wedding of my dreams, and you say, it's going to cost you this much money.
And I want people, as I always tell folks, when they come into my office for that first time, you know, we're like face-to-face, I drill them for about 2 hours. It's like very much like a psychological evaluation. And I ask, because for most people, they honestly don't know how much a wedding costs.
Right.
Really, they don't know. I do. And so I'm happy. In fact, I encourage it. And I ask them, have you had the convo? And this is the financial convo. Do you know how much you want to spend? And I say, you know, give me your must-haves. Give me your wish list. And then I proceed to tell them what's doable and what's not. Because really, average wedding in the United States is almost $28,000.
Yeah, we said that earlier, how much,
right,
and they would tell you, in New York, it was like 37, starts at
37. Closer to 40.
I'm sorry, 65, and in L.A. it was 37.
Right, and here's the thing. People are like, oh, my God, that's a lot of money. And I say it's all relative, because it's like you decide you're going to buy a Vuitton bag versus one that you can get from Target.
Right.
Sure, you can buy the one from Target, but you want the Vuitton bag. And why do you want the Vuitton bag? Because you like it? Because you know how it's manufactured. You know, there are qualities behind it.
Right.
Same thing goes for wedding. Because honestly, you know, you don't have to have all this. You can go to the JP and get married. We can call that a day.
Yeah.
You choose. You choose to have this. So if you're going to choose to have it, I say be informed. And one of my jobs as a professional planner is to be the educator. So I'm going to educate you on what it's going to cost and what your dollars can get. If all you have is $20,000, I'm going to tell you how you can spend it. Conversely, you can't take $20,000 and have 400 guests and 60 people in the wedding party, and you want open bar, and you want custom linen, and you want custom lighting. It is not going to happen. And I don't care what anyone says. It's not going to happen. And there's nothing I can do to make it happen.
Yeah, exactly. Let me ask you this, Lynette. Is there a particular season that's better than another season or cheaper? Like if I wanted to have it in, I don't know, what, March, or as opposed to the summer, because I know a lot of people have summer weddings.
Right. And really, it's geographical. If you're in a climate which is warm all the time, it won't make a difference.
Okay.
But if you're in a climate like I am, I'm in the Baltimore, D.C. area, we have four seasons, very distinct
right.
seasons. So, yeah, if you get married between January and March, you'll see your ability to get stuff will be greater because it's not prime time. It doesn't mean that it will be cheaper. It just means your ability to get stuff is better. Because prime time for us is April through the end of October. That's
right.
6 months, you know. And I will say this, if you want to save money, walk away from the third Saturday night in June at 6 o'clock. Go to maybe the third Saturday in June at 9 a.m. Less money for breakfast than you do for dinner. You don't need alcohol and a few other things.
Yeah.
So if you want to
You're
be a June
right.
bride, fine. But you'll be a June bride who has a morning wedding. And,
right.
you know, people will come to your wedding, okay? Do not get swayed by the no one will come if my wedding's at 9 o'clock. If they love you and they support you, they'll be there.
Exactly. And I'm also thinking the fact that, like you said, saving money on alcohol. I mean, you know, the worst thing that could happen is you have an open bar. Someone, you know, Uncle Bill gets drunk so bad that he comes and hugs you, and then he throws up on your dress, and then there's the end. I mean, you know, the whole disastrous thing. I love the idea of the morning wedding. I think that's fantastic.
Well, and then, too, who doesn't like breakfast food? You know, there's nothing like, and we've done so many wedding breakfasts. And brunches, one of our most popular brunches that we craft for our clients is a Southern brunch where we have a grits bar and we have chicken and waffles and, you know, sweet potato fries. Everybody loves it. And the advantage is to say your event is over by 1 p.m. You've got a whole
right.
day to do whatever. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly.
And especially great if you've got guests coming in from out of town because you can
yeah.
always, you know, party hop or do whatever. But I find that, especially now with alcohol, many, 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 many venues are now very alcohol conscious because it's a liability issue. There will be no excessive drunkenness because, and I know for me as a planner, I will cut you off in a heartbeat. We know how to spot someone who's had too much, and by law, our bartender is required to cut you off. you can protest all you want, but it will also make you see the outside of the building versus being inside.
Oh,
so,
I love that. Yeah. And you've got someone like that's doing your wedding part. You need someone that can take charge and handle that, as opposed to you getting, you know, flustered. No, we're gonna let her, because she's taking care of that. We're not gonna have any, you know, problems with it. I love that idea.
Well, the idea of having a wedding planner, and a lot of people think it's, you know, for the elite, it's for the wealthy, it's for celebrities. It really isn't. If you work a full-time job, if you've got other things going on in your life, it takes roughly 250 hours to pull a wedding together. And most people don't have that kind of time. They simply don't. And I'm of the notion is, you don't know what you don't know. If you've never planned an event like this, 200-300 people, you're still not going to know what pitfalls to avoid. You're not going to know anything about negotiation strategies, because while people think it's true, let me tell all of you, everything is not negotiable. So, you know, don't come into a wedding thinking, oh, I'll just negotiate everybody. Nope, you'll wind up with no vendors, or you'll wind up with no services, because it doesn't work that way. What a wedding planner does, a wedding planner is your advocate. Right. Wedding planner already knows what you want, so they can go in and they make those qualified choices and recommendations, so you're not running around like a chicken with your head cut off. You get it done, and you have less stress, and, which this is so important, I'll be talking about this on the show, you get to enjoy being engaged.
Yeah.
You do. And that's a once-in-a-lifetime thing, and I want to share this with your viewers, because I know our time is short. I have something that I call the 30-day rule. 30-day rule is very simple. The moment you get engaged, 30 days, nothing wedding-related, absolutely nothing. Don't look at it, don't talk about it, nothing. Enjoy your time with your fiancé. Enjoy the sparkle on your hand. Think about the wonderful life you're going to have together. On day 31, let the wedding planning commence. But if more people would take that structure, they'd be a lot happier. We'd have less bridezillas during the process.
Wow. I love that. Day 31, you start planning. Okay. Because
yes,
you're right. It's almost like as soon as you get engaged, you know, the first thing people ask, I mean, you could send out a tweet or whatever, however your means you want to send out the message, and you say, I'm engaged, here's my ring, ooh, ah. The first thing people ask is what? What's the date?
What's the date? And you know what? Honestly, I don't know. And
Right. Simply,
I have my clients do it, and my clients, they all follow the 30-day rule. And they simply tell people, we'll let you know when we know, and that's it. And that's it. You are, the bride and groom are truly the orchestrators. You know, you drive this engine. You drive this car. I go back to my other favorite adage, which is people only do what you let them do. If you let everyone else stress you out about the wedding, if you let everyone else impose their will and their ideas upon you, well, you're going to have a problem. But when you get married, you're a united front. Why not start the process early and often?
I love that. And when can we expect from the showcase, the bridal showcase,
well,
for those people who
the bridal showcase itself is a wonderful gathering of really amazing vendors and service providers in the, you know, greater Baltimore area who will be showing their wares. So, you know, a bridal show can be a great way to see what's out there if you don't have a planner.
Right.
Because not everybody does. But it's also a way to see great fashion, taste great food, touch everything. Weddings are very, you know, visual. We embody the five senses with it. And I'll be making an appearance at the show, kind of giving out some well-honed advice. Now, whether or not people take my advice is always a different story. But for most people, I give them those aha moments. And I can always see it when I'm standing on stage. I can always tell who got the light bulb. And it's always amazing to watch that. And, of course, you know, we're going in. Wedding in a week is actually, we launch on Tuesday. And the actual wedding will be the day after Valentine's Day. So it's a lot going on, and I'm excited about it. Like I said, it's my first year, so I'm looking to bring my own unique style, because I will admit, I am so not like any other wedding planner, and I rather like being that different chick. I appreciate that.
And, you know, before I let you go, Lynette, how much would a person need to think about charging, or paying, rather, a good, like yourself, a good wedding planner? How much could they expect
Well, again, it depends on the planner's experience. The more experience they have, you're going to pay for that, you know, gray matter that rests between their ears. Where they're located, a planner in, let's say, Idaho, not going to charge a planner, same planner, let's say, here in Baltimore, D.C., or New York. But, for you know, there's all kinds of planning, but I only do what we call full production planning. planning, which is where we actually conceptualize the wedding from start to finish. We do have my associates do what we call wedding direction, where we just, you plan it, and we come in and orchestrate it. But you're looking at four figures for a good one. If someone tells you, let this be your warning, if someone says, I can plan your wedding for $500, I need you to walk away. Actually, I need you to run away.
Yeah.
Because that's not, I just told you, it takes 250 hours to plan a wedding, and that's for the consumer. When you think of all the things a wedding planner has to do, you know. And, you know, if a wedding planner, if someone says, well, that'll be $8,000. Once you have your moment, you take your breath, think about that. Look at their resume. Look at their history, and look at their experience. If you've got someone like me who's got 20 years going on 21, why would you pay them $500? Same thing as if you see a caterer or a big, why would you do that?
Yeah.
So in the wedding business, if I can tell nothing else to your listeners, caveat emptor, buyer beware. You do get what you pay for, and it is nothing else. If you pay $500 for something, it's not going to look like it's worth $5,000. It's not.
And where can we find the Wedding in the Week?
Wedding in the Week, you actually can go to, if you go into Google, hit Fox 45 Baltimore. Launch is on Tuesday, so everything will be up on Tuesday. And then if people follow me on Facebook, which is my company, Premier Event Management. Premier is spelled with an E on the end, like a movie premiere.
Right.
Or follow me on Twitter at The Wedding Diva. Or, you know, on my website, theweddingdiva.com. They'll learn all about it. But we're really socially social media driven. So there's going to be lots of tweets and Facebook posts and things like that as we go along in the process.
Well, you're welcome to stay on, but I want to bring on Joanne Grigoli, and I'm hoping I'm pronouncing your last name correctly, Joanne. Joanne is the destination wedding wizard. Now joined by Joanne Grigoli, who is the Destination Wedding Wizard. Welcome to the Beauty Files.
Thank you so much for having me.
You know, Joanne, I got to say, I'm looking through your website, and you have the most amazing destination weddings I've ever seen imaginable. What do I do? How do I come to you and tell you, you know, Joanne, I want to go to Rome. I mean, you have a destination that's in Rome. And
correct.
For those of you who have not haven't seen this website, her website is amazing, Elegant Occasions. What's the first step a person needs to do if they want to plan a destination wedding?
Well, basically, I tell people first to pick a location that is near and dear to their hearts. You know, pick a location that has some sentimental value to them. Either a location you visited as a couple, or a location that may be where he proposed, or a place where you vacation often. So at least the memories that you will hold will not only be near and dear for the wedding date, but even prior to that. So I ask them to pick a location that is special to them.
Okay, and so what services do you provide? Like, you I tell you something near and dear, I'll tell you that I got engaged in New York or wherever.
Right.
How do you go about taking that and making it into this amazing destination wedding?
Well, any destination, any location can be a destination. So
okay.
Believe it or not, even people that are in New York, it really can be a destination for those coming into the city of New York. So really any location can play into a destination because by definition, a destination wedding is really a three-day event culminating at a welcome party and then concluding, you know, at a brunch. So it really can be real anywhere in the world, anywhere in the country can become a destination. But basically the first thing we do is they come to me, we sit down, we kind of focus in on where are the guests coming from. That's our first critical aspect, is where are the bulk of the guests flying in and out of, so we can make sure that wherever we're looking is easily accessible to your guests. Because not only does the client become my client, the bride and groom, but also all the family members and guests also become our clients in a weird way, because we also assist them with their travel plans. So we have to be really well versed in the area that we're talking about, and we also have to really know, you know, where are the guests flying from. So if you're East Coast, is very easy, but when you get to the Midwest, it gets a little more difficult, because those poor people have to take puddle jumpers to get to one location.
And you take care of all that. You take care of not only the travel arrangements for the bride and groom, but you take the helm and you handle all of it.
Correct. Correct. So the first thing we do is we kind of assess the situation. We assess our guest list. We look at where they're coming from, and then we make recommendations based upon that, as well as any location that, you know, the couple happens to be in love with. Then we kind of put a budget together. So we look at, okay, is it an affordable option for them? You know, what is your budget? Is it affordable? And then we look at all the other elements that come into play, you know, such as, you know, what is the date? What are you looking at? If you're in the Caribbean, you want to avoid certain seasons. So if they're saying, I want to get married in September in the Caribbean, we really don't recommend that due to hurricane season.
Okay.
So we'd say, okay, instead maybe go to Hawaii. So you kind of move around the areas of the country, or the world, really, focusing on weather patterns that are happening so that, you know, their day can be as perfect as it can be.
Wow. And,
one big thing we recommend for anybody, anyone that does a destination wedding, we will always recommend that those people have wedding insurance. Wedding insurance, if I can say one thing, wedding insurance is an absolute must for anyone planning a destination wedding, because with the weather patterns being so unknown and, you know, so unpredictable, it's better to be safe than sorry.
Now, for you, give me a memorable wedding that you planned for you, that you planned for someone else, that you can tell our listeners that you felt that was one of the most spectacular events that you put on. I know you have several, but just one.
They're all really spectacular in their own way, because it really takes on the personality of the couple. So every wedding I do is really memorable. But I guess the one that stands out most is I had been commissioned to do the wedding for Rupert Murdoch's daughter in Beverly Hills.
And that,
to me, was probably the most spectacular wedding, just because of logistics. It was challenging, to say the least.
Right.
We also had a sitting president attending, so I had logistical nightmares up the wazoo with Secret Service and other security issues. But it was just beautiful. It was just breathtaking, beautiful, and so romantic that it really was a really special weekend for me. And there was one that I actually preceded that one. Ironically, I was in, I did a wedding in Aspen, Colorado, and it was a 5-day event.
Wow.
By the time I finished that job and I was flying home, I think I knew every single guest, 200 of them, because we had handed out, you know, name tags for all the events every single day except for the wedding day. So people really got to know about each other and learn about each other. And it probably was the most memorable, I think, week, about 5 days of my life.
That sounds amazing.
Because it was so involved with every aspect of it, from, you know, brunch on top of Aspen Mountain to, you know, a hoedown at the Hotel Jerome to, you know, breakfast at the Little Nell. We kind of covered, I call it the kamikaze visit of Aspen in a mad 5 days. We did everything you could do in Aspen in 5 days.
Oh, my God.
And it was really spectacular.
And if a bride comes to you, what are some of the questions that she should have or she should ask you, as far as, you know, Joanne, I want to plan a destination wedding. What should she be asking you, or any person who does this?
Actually, any planner. I mean, first of all, if you're going to, you know, interview a wedding planner, just make sure that they are knowledgeable in the world of destination weddings, because they're a little different than local weddings.
Right.
Make sure that when you ask the questions, you know, what is it going to cost me? What's the budget for myself, meaning the bride? But also, you have to budget in what is the budget for my guests, because you need to give her information so that she can let people know whether they can afford to attend or not.
Right.
You have to really give them options and make sure that the planner is knowledgeable of optional hotels in and around the location of the wedding, that the location you're picking. And you should really just ask them, you know, how many destination weddings have you done, and have they done that many destinations in that location? And if the location is new to the planner, then it is imperative that they recommend that they do a site visit with the planner in tow, so the planner can look at things in a little bit of logistical eye that maybe other people wouldn't see. You know, we as planners go in there and we can envision something taking place in a space that is completely vacant or void of any type of ambiance. And we could take a really simple location and make it an amazing location. So sometimes when you see something as a bride, you may not see the vision a planner sees. So just make sure that the planner also has a vision that you have too. So when you look at the work, you know, first thing I'll say is, well, what is your vision? What do you see? And our job is to kind of take what is in their mind and make it happen.
And if I'm planning a destination wedding, how far in advance would I need to give you to start the planning process?
Most of the time as planners, you know, 6 months is on the short end. You'd want more than that, because you want to give your guests time to really give their notice to travel, you know, if they're working. So, you know, a year is usually pretty much normal, 12 months. It's rare that we see brides anymore with longer than that. You know, we don't see brides 2 years out anymore. We'll see them 9 to 12 months.
Yeah.
And that's normal. You know, I had a wedding we just did, it was 3 months out. We had to plan it. It's not optimum, because it's not fair to your, I can do it, but it's not really fair to your guests. They really need enough time to prepare themselves and, you know, arrange for daycare or childcare, whatever they may need. So you really should give your guests a little more time just for their own travel plans.
And
to book airlines,
average,
too, because airlines,
the average destination
book
wedding,
a flight.
Oh, yeah, well,
be,
yeah, that
you know,
too, exactly. And what would be the average, you know, on the low end versus the high end? If I had a party of 10?
What would be the average? You figure a party of 10 for the whole weekend type thing, you're probably talking at least for the party itself or the budget itself. You're probably looking, I kind of factor in like $1,000 a person.
Okay.
You're looking at $10,000, and then, you know, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, it goes up from there. But usually about $10,000. Don't forget, you're doing multiple day events. But you also have to keep in mind that you get more for your money. If you're going to spend $25,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 in the New York metropolitan area, which is actually more than that, they're more in the $100,000 range.
Right.
You're only getting, what, 6 hours
worth
of an event?
Yeah.
When you take somebody away for $100,000, even for $50,000, you can get a lot more bang for your buck and a lot more days of being with your friends and family than you would if you were local. And that's the biggest difference. What they'll say is, it's cheaper for me to have a destination wedding. It may not be cheaper, it could be the same, but you get 3 days or 4 days.
Right.
Also, they'll always ask me, well, how many people do I anticipate will come to a destination wedding? What is the drop-off rate? You know, is it 20%? It's usually half. So if you have a guest list of 150, will show up. But if you make it desirable, meaning easy access and easy flights in and out, you can get as high as, you know, you can get as high as 70% people will say yes.
Yeah, I'm thinking, you know, when you mentioned about the 3 days or whatever, I think that's a fabulous idea to have a wedding like that, where you just get to know everyone, you know, through the whole weekend. You're experiencing different things. You're going to different events. You're sharing stories. You can share stories about the bride and the groom, and then you can get to meet each other's families and just have a wonderful big party for like 3 days.
It's a big bonding experience. I have to say, the difference between local weddings and destination is that you, as a bride and groom, have a lot more time with those people than you would ever do in a five-hour wedding.
Right.
And also, don't forget, you're blending. You're two people becoming one, but you also have two families that you're trying to combine a little bit as well. And what better opportunity than to spend time to get to know the in-laws by spending a few days with them and really getting to know, you know, the family and who they are. And it really, out of all the weddings I've ever done, I can remember almost every destination wedding I've ever done, versus local weddings. Local weddings kind of blur to me, but destination weddings are definitely more special, even in my eyes. I definitely see that they are definitely more interesting. They're fun. They really are fun. It becomes a really different feeling for people than local. I have to say, the stress level, you know, I think that sometimes for the poor brides, you're on also, don't forget, island time, European time. They don't put a sense of urgency on things. Mm-hmm. So you have to go into this planning, a destination wedding. You have to be very, not nervous. You should be really careful not to be as stressed out as you can be, because you are dealing with, you know, people that are definitely have a different set of their hours and their times are not as important as we are in New York.
Right.
In New York,
right.
LA, everything was due yesterday.
So if we go there
outside
and
the metropolitan area, you know, they don't have the same sense of urgency. You really have to go into it with a relaxed attitude and just kind of say, it's going to be fine no matter what happens, you know, no matter what happens.
Yeah, and I was thinking too. You know, I mean, I know, you know, you can't tell someone a bride or whoever to relax and be cool and take it slow because you're in a different area because you're so used to being fast and quick and everything has
exactly.
to happen yesterday. But it's just like you were saying, it's a nice way to get to know everyone in a slower pace.
It is. It really is. I mean, it's funny that, you know, when you get to the airport, everyone's all stressed out. The minute you can see the stress levels leave their faces, when you see them on the beach or you see them, you know, at the villas or you see them in Italy, their smiles are there. It's definitely a less stressful environment for sure. And people really have a good time. They really do. I mean, I've yet to see people, you know, ever say that was like the worst. I mean, I had a wedding once where they got married, 10 people in Iceland. That was the most interesting wedding.
Wow.
And it's like, why would people want to go to Iceland? But they had the best time. You know,
it's a beautiful place, and that was
the dream of theirs, to get married in Iceland. And,
wow.
You know, we have never done anything there before, but we got to know Iceland really quickly.
Yeah. And, you know, I love Iceland. I think Iceland is absolutely beautiful. I mean,
of Ireland. You know, it has that same lush feel to it. It is really stunning, but it is not known for destination weddings. It's not something that normal people would come up and say, I want to get married in Iceland.
Well,
but
yeah.
It is
yeah.
as beautiful as Ireland and, you know, out of England, you know, out in the farmlands. It is beautiful. It is stunning. But it is our job as planners to kind of educate people on what is available to them. Maybe they didn't think of those locations.
Yeah.
And, you know, how beautiful it can be and how beautiful it really is. And it really opens up the world to people. And sometimes, you know, people, it's really interesting, they don't travel. And this is their time, guest-wise, to travel.
And you're thinking when you're sending out an invitation, you're saying Iceland, and they're like, what the? And then when you
exactly.
get there, you're like, oh, my God, this is the best place I've ever been. Because
exactly.
you
love places that you didn't know, and you have to be open-minded to what's out there. And, you know, these guests, actually, a lot of them, you know, are very open-minded, and they have a good time. They have a really, really good time, and that's what it's all about.
And you, Joanne, you make everything so special and so beautiful that, you know, it's like, I leave it to Joanne. She'll take care of it. You'll love it. Don't act like, you know, just let her take care of it. I guarantee
exactly.
you'll love it. And then
you
when you get
trust,
there.
You have to trust the professionals.
Exactly.
You know? And it doesn't matter where you're doing your wedding. You can do your wedding locally, but you have to trust every professional that you've hired to do the job that you've hired them to do. And if you don't have a trust level, then you're with the wrong people. You know, you'll know instantly whether you have that feeling of comfort and trust. I mean, I'm only as good as the vendors that I also recommend as well. I have to trust them just as much as the bride does. And I have to be sure that every vendor that we work with has the same set of aesthetics and work ethics, as well as, you know, we give 150%, and I expect every vendor to do the same. And they do. They really do. You know, and the ones that don't, you know, they fall by the wayside because they don't give their 100% or 150% to the dreams that we're trying to make these people. Because we don't have a do-over. We get
yeah.
one shot at getting it right.
One shot, exactly.
And you have to do it in one take. And, you know, that's what drives, I think, most of us.
Joanne, let me pronounce your name right. Grigoli, right?
Correct.
Oh, thank you. Just want to make sure. Joanne Grigoli from Elegant Occasions. You have been such a pleasure to talk with. Thank you so much for being on the Beauty Files. I wish I had more time.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, I appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much. And again, I want to encourage everyone tonight on 2020. There is a interesting program. It talks about weddings and all the different things that happen, good, bad, sad. It's called Wedding Confidential. It's on 2020 at 10 p.m. on ABC. I encourage you to take a look at that. We're going to have a part two of our wedding planning in February after Valentine's Day. And we're going to be joined by TheKnot.com. We're going to talk all things wedding again. And for those people who I didn't get the questions answered for them, we're going to take those questions and give it to them as well. I appreciate you listening to the show today, as always. Join us in 2 weeks at 4 o'clock p.m. on BBSRadio.com, Station 1. I look forward to having you listening to the show again. Until then, take care. Bye-bye.